Okay, so did people go into Vancouver and US to shop as well as to play cricket?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, we didn't shop unless you just ran out of something. We shopped in Westminster. There were no shopping centers. There were no shopping centers in Burnaby.
No, they could.
There was no Middlegate. There was no Brentwood.
The Edmonds had a collection of stores, you see. Yeah.
Oh, no, we shopped in Vancouver, Westminster. I suppose everybody did. You'd go in by, if you didn't have a car, you went in by the interurban.
Well, for instance, one of the things I had to do in my during the war was, I forget what it was about now, but I had to determine how many stores there were in Burnaby and get a list so that in case of destruction or something, where
food,
we'd have
how much food
and so
we
on.
Could support.
Well, I think there are only, in all of Burnaby, I forget the figure, it's a fantastic, something like 16 or 20 stores where you could get food.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I made a list of them. All over Burnaby.
Oh, I think it'd be more than that.
It would be interesting to see that.
Yeah. You don't keep those records, you know. You should, you know.
Yeah. Well, there weren't very many about it. Yeah. There weren't very many.
I guess along Hastings and along Kingsway.
Well, the odd little area where you found them were like down on, you'd be one on Rumble Street. There was a grocery store down here on the Douglas Road. One at Alta Vista. Some out in East Burnaby. Some along Armstrong Avenue. And they were all... So and there was no real development of Burnaby, you see. The population was still around 25,000 to 30,000, even at the end, of the war.
But there were no shopping centers.
No.
Simpson Sears wasn't built.
Yeah.
Nothing like that.
None of these shopping centers.
See, where Sears Roebuck is, that was West Burnaby School. Huge, great big school ground.
Really?
Yeah.
So Burnaby really was just this mixture of pots of settlement.
That's right, and dictated by transportation of one kind or another, and particularly along the southern along the main center of population, of course, was that had it earliest was along the Central Park line. And that was true in South Vancouver too, Collingwood and all these areas outside after you left Vancouver. See, Vancouver ended at 16th Avenue. In those days.
Oh, yes.
16th Avenue was the boundary line.
And then it was South Vancouver.
South Vancouver. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Except for one section in around Shaughnessy, and it went to 25th Avenue. There was a jig in there.
Well, maybe we should just finish by asking, is there any one particular thing that you remember about the 30s? Anything that stands out in your mind? Either of you, that we haven't covered.
Not as far as Burnaby is concerned.
Or even personally. Or
any one particular thing about Burnaby, you mean?
Or even just about your experience during the 30s.
Well, I think on reflection, I think we were talking about it at breakfast this morning, I think that and we can't think too much about it now, and remember too much about it, was that our trip to study in Washington. I think that is the most impact of any, wouldn't, if you wanted to say in
the
30s.
Thing we did, yeah.
That was a traumatic experience. Well, we didn't know it, though. Mm-hmm.
No, except that you ran into embarrassing situations. My husband tried to buy a light pair of trousers. Well, you couldn't buy such a thing in Vancouver. And we land down in New Orleans, and I had a cousin who was head of the port there, and he took us to a posh restaurant, and here we were looking like the biggest tramps out. But you couldn't buy that sort of thing in Vancouver in those days. You know?
You couldn't buy a piece of tropical goods.
You know.
I tried to get a pair of tropical for a warmer climate, and they weren't available.
But I think that's the only thing that...
I would think that was, if you want one thing that was a traumatic experience to us, that would be it. And the insecurity, uncertainty. Yeah. Although it didn't feel that way. I don't know how to put it.
Well, when you're in it, you have to cope with it, don't you?
That's right.
Yeah. And when everybody else was in the same thing. You didn't worry about it. You just, you didn't buy new things. You didn't have the money, so that's
we just went in what we had. We had very limited clothing, and of course, when we got to Washington, and incidentally, when we got, that's an interesting thing about the 30s. That was the time when Roosevelt just came to power, saving the United States, you see, and he was building up his huge bureaucracy that he was getting there, and
to
try and find a place to stay in Washington at that time. Oh, and with the money we had, and we ended up in a ghetto. We were in bordering on a Negro ghetto where we lived.
What was your reaction as Canadians, having seen what the Canadian government was doing in Canada about the Depression, to arriving in Washington and hearing Roosevelt talk about his ideas about solving it? Do you remember?
Well,
because banks had gone broke in the United States, you see, and they
Canada the banks were really broke in the United States. This didn't happen.
People
in Canada.
Lost their everything. See, that didn't happen in Canada.
The impact there was greater than here.
Mm-hmm.
I think, as it is now too,
yeah,
for whatever the reasons today. Mm-hmm. But the banks they just went kaput.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to do something very drastic. Now Canada didn't do anything. Well, Canada did a lot, but it did it much more moderately, I guess, or I don't know what. It wasn't dramatic.
The man who went to the forestry camps and that sort of thing would have a much more vivid impression of the 30s than the people who managed to get along on a low income, but your life wasn't disrupted, actually, you know.
Thank you.